Hello,
Hold on, hold
Josh.
on. I gotta count you in. And we're rolling.
Hello, Josh.
Hello.
Welcome to How Have You Never Seen This? And tonight, Josh, how have you never seen Cool Hand Luke?
Don't know. It's before, it came out before I was born, like in the 60s.
November 1st, 1967.
Okay. Movies from the 60s, a lot of it is access, but most of it is interest.
So Cool Hand Luke is one of those movies you might see pop up like all throughout your
A
entire
lot of like
life.
clip, yeah,
Yeah.
clips, you know.
I mean, The Great Escape, Ben-Hur, The
The
Sting.
Sting, I was gonna, yeah, I was just thinking that. I
Yeah.
haven't really seen a whole lot of Paul Newman movies. I know Paul Newman's like the star of Cool Hand Luke. Hell, he may even play Luke himself. I have no idea what it's about. Maybe he's a man in search of a mitten or a glove dealership, or just a pair, you know, maybe a store. His hands are a bit chilly. Maybe a card dealer or something, you know. I really have no
No
idea.
idea. Well, I don't want to give anything away, so I think that we should probably watch it.
Why don't you tell me what else came out around that time
Yeah.
that maybe I have seen? Like we just fucking talked about.
Well, I just told you, I listed like you've seen The Great Escape. You've seen only
Well, but
recent.
did those come out like around the same time?
Oh, well, that's what I have to look because I'm trying to.
Like we have to do it the way we would for a movie that came out while I was out.
But I don't think like things came out like releases the way back in 1967, the way things come out now. But I'll tell
No,
you.
but like if it was up for an Oscar, like what was it up against? You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm
That's how we'll
thinking.
play it. Guys, we
Yeah.
just make up the rules as we go, so. This is a good pod.
Well, I know how to edit.
If it's all the same to you. You're really good
So,
looking broad, you know
what? Is that a quote from this movie? November 1967 movies include The Producers, Cool Hand Luke, Oscar, Kidnapping, Caucasian Style,
Sounds fun.
Hour of the Gun, Who's That Knocking at My Door, Texas Adios, The Happy Millionaire, Walt Disney movie, actually, never seen it.
Okay.
So yeah, any of those
Yes.
other than The Producers have you seen?
No.
So The Producers you must have seen
That was the Gene
Gene
Wilder?
Wilder. Yeah,
And
yeah.
who was,
I don't recognize his face. I'm gonna have to open it
hold
up.
on, who played Bloom? Leo Bloom.
Zero
Yeah,
Mostel.
Zero Mostel. Yeah.
No, that was
From
Max.
Max Bialystock?
Yeah.
So who did Gene Wilder play? He was Leo
Leo
Bloom?
Bloom. I would have
Oh.
thought it was the other way around
That
too.
has, I'll be honest, it's been a minute since I've seen the original Producers
Zero
because
Mostel.
like I saw the remake, the one with Nathan
Nathan
Lane
Lane
and
and yeah.
Matthew Broderick. I saw that in the theater with my friend Evan. I don't think I've ever laughed quite as hard in a movie theater as I did when I saw that. So I went to like it's like when I lived at home, I went to the library and I would just take out movies. And I took out the Gene Wilder one. But yeah, I did a Cool Hand Luke. Can't tell you much. I don't know what expectations to have. This is the point of this show.
Right.
Everybody else that I know has seen this movie. I just somehow have not yet.
So what do you know about Paul Newman? Like, what types of movies would he be in?
Well, I don't know. Like, I know the ones that I've seen. Like, I've seen The Sting, and that was kind of like a comedy-ish kind of heisty comedy movie. But I would imagine like a whole lot, like I know that I know some movies he's been in where it's just like a love romance drama kind of thing. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what to, I think this movie has what we've got here is failure to communicate. That's Cool Hand Luke, right?
Takeaway line. Yeah. What we've got here is failure to communicate.
And he was in Easy Rider too, I think. Right. Was he?
That was James Dean, right?
No.
Oh. He was only in two movies, James Dean, or three.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa! Remember? Remember him?
So do you know who else is in Cool Hand Luke?
I think I've made that perfectly clear that I have.
Dennis Hopper is also in it.
Oh, yeah. Dennis Hopper, which I played you a clip of a famous Dennis Hopper scene. Just yesterday, when you were looking at your 23andMe results and discovered that you were more Sicilian than you thought. And then I played you the clip of Dennis Hopper explaining a little history about the Sicilians from the movie True Romance, opposite Christopher Walken.
Interesting.
So that one's not really safe for work.
There was an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor.
For whom?
For this movie.
Dennis Hopper?
I'm looking to see who won it. Academy Award. Stuart Rosenberg maintained.
Oh, I like him already.
Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor.
My great uncle's name is Stuart Rosenberg.
Maybe George Kennedy.
I'm fairly certain that he did not have anything to do with the movie business.
Oh, really? Hey, so do you want to go watch it? Do you think we're good?
I think here's where it gets tricky because. Shut up, Siri. Shut up.
She doesn't work that way. All right. I think you're going to like it, honestly.
Okay. I think this is a tricky part with movies like this because I try to not succumb to the pressure of everybody telling me this is a great movie. It worked out pretty well with A Nightmare Before Christmas. I renounce that. That is the most... Ugh. I think I'm going to like it too. I don't even know what to expect.
So, but what you have to do is put yourself in the position of being in 1967.
How can I do that?
No, but just know.
How could I do that?
Because I've been researching all day today about what was going on in the 60s. It's a lot of like what was going on now. A lot of rebellious behaviors.
Yeah.
Right. The coming of age type thing where people were coming into their own, a lot more sex, a lot more like the sexual revolution, the civil rights acts, like all these things. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of rebellion, the beatniks, the hippies. So just
the dweebs.
Think
the greasers? The
beatniks. So just think about that while you watch this movie and just take that into consideration.
Cool.
All right.
Hand Luke.
Cool. I see what you did there. All right, let's go watch it.
You're going to get used to wearing them chains after a while, Luke. Don't you never stop listening to them clinking. Because they're going to remind you of what I've been saying.
Wish you'd stop being so good to me, Captain.
Don't you ever talk that way to me. Never! What we've got here is failure to communicate. What we've got here is failure to communicate. What we've got here.
What we got here?
Failure to communicate.
is a failure to communicate.
Okay.
Hi, welcome back. Now we just watched
Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah. What'd you think?
I loved it.
You did?
Yeah, I really liked it. This is one of those movies, I think we said this before, because it's been a few hours since we did the intro, but I think I said it. That this is one of those movies where anyone you ask who has seen it, like you never go, hey, have you seen Cool Hand Luke? And they're like, yeah, I could take it or leave it. Right? Anyone who's seen Cool Hand Luke agrees that it's like a really good movie. Like there's.
Yeah, it holds up.
It holds up. Yeah.
Because it was a 1968.
Right. There's nothing. Yeah, exactly. There's nothing to do with technology. There's no like predictions of the future, like, you know, like Blade Runner, which I don't think we ever wrapped up, right?
No, I think we did. We didn't?
I don't think so.
We could Blade Runner
does not hold up at all.
Well, it's not that it doesn't hold up. It's just not a good movie.
Right, but a lot of that is because it doesn't hold up. You're like, oh, it takes place in like 2025, and you're like, okay, well, A, it's never raining in Los Angeles.
That
if we
much.
Can get past like, that part.
It sprinkles.
But Cool Hand Luke is like, I'm sure there are still like prison yard, kind of like, what are they called? Like farm prisons, right?
Right. Well, that took place in Florida.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that it ever, because they get like a letter from Atlanta.
Right.
But I don't think it ever comes up that he's in Florida, right?
Maybe,
but that, even better. Even better. Yeah. Like there's no, what I did notice that was interesting is I'm sure, and I'm sure this will come back around, but I just found it interesting that this, because you watch Shawshank Redemption, you watch any prison kind of movie,
yeah,
or show, right? Yeah. It's a pretty diverse crowd, right? This was an entirely white cast.
Right.
Which.
No, well, there was two little black kids in the town.
Right. Okay.
And
like none in prison. You know, it was all white prisoners.
White trash.
Which
is typical of that part of Florida.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure of that time. You know, I don't think they were whitewashing the movie.
Right. No, it wasn't being whitewashed.
Well, like, because I'm imagining like a remake of Cool Hand Luke, right? Because of course it would happen. And would they be like accused, like, hey, we want some more African American
actors
in this movie portraying criminals? You know, that's a tricky tightrope to walk. But
maybe they'd be the prison guards.
So anyway, the movie was really good. There's no, it held up to what I imagine how good it was like in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s.
So do you want to hear a little bit about it?
Yeah.
Background about it. So yeah. It came out in 1967, and it was based on a book that was written by Don Pierce. It was novel by the same name, and so that he sold it to Warner Brothers, and the film is actually set in the 1950s.
And they had him write the.
They
screenplay
did. For they it. So yeah. Warner Brothers, but he didn't.
See, guys, read the credits occasionally.
Yeah. So he didn't have a lot of experience. So they brought in Frank Pearson to rework the screenplay that he that he wrote. But the film has been cited by Roger Ebert as an anti-establishment film, which was shot during the time of emergent popular opposition to the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the filming took place within California's San Joaquin River Delta region, imitating a prison. Well, that's where they shot it, filming. But it was imitating a prison farm in the deep south.
Yeah.
But the book is based on Florida prison camp.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's nothing Floridian about it.
No, like northern.
It seems very just like
Georgia.
Outside Florida southern, like true southern. Not, yeah.
I know it's weird, even though Florida is the most southern state, but I feel like the
because it wasn't settled the same way that the southern states were settled.
Alabama, yeah. So it was nominated for a few Oscars.
It had to have been nominated for Best Picture.
But it had to. The only nomination that won was Supporting Actor.
For Dragline.
Right.
What was his name?
George Kennedy.
George Kennedy.
So he went for Coolant. So do you want to know Newman was nominated?
Yeah, he must have been nominated for Best Actor.
But he was up against Warren Beatty, Dustin Hoffman.
Hold on, let me guess what movies.
Warren Beatty.
Pass.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit, that's right. That was from back then.
Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman had to be, like, the graduate.
Yep.
Okay.
Paul Newman, Cool Hand Luke. Spencer Tracy.
Oh.
Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Okay, yeah.
And Rod Steiger.
I don't know.
In the Heat of the Night. And that's who won. And I don't even know that movie.
How have you never seen In, no,
in the Heat of the Night?
We'll make it to that.
So it's funny to read these names of people. Like, so George Kennedy beat Gene Hackman, Bonnie and Clyde. Cecil Calloway, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Supporting actor is like, and I just got one out of like the four or five other nominees. Best supporting, you'd never be able to guess, right? Because, he played the heavy in that movie. Like,
right. That's interesting.
Like if you were like, guess who
bless you.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Guess who won the Best Supporting Actor in 1968? I'd be like, oh, I don't know. You'd be like, oh, it was Cool Hand Luke. And I'd be like, oh, I still don't know.
Yeah.
Or if you were like, it was George Kennedy, what movie? I'd be like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Supporting is tough.
But not nowadays. I mean, a lot of supporting actors are actually...
Well, now we know it. We're alive right now. Yeah, so we know that, like, we know who's in what. They're
just not no names, not necessarily.
Yeah. And even now, I think a lot of times it'd be like, oh, I didn't know that. My favorite thing is when somebody's nominated for two things in the same category.
Yeah, for two different movies. You know? That's pretty cool. So
doesn't happen a lot. That's like a Blue Moon nomination.
Were you surprised at the ending?
Not really. So, spoiler alert, guys. He's captured. Cool Hand Luke escapes twice. Several times. Thrice. Yeah,
he tries three times.
And yeah, the first time they put chains on him. The second time they put chains on him. Another set of chains.
And they made him dig a hole and fill a hole and dig a hole. Brutalize
the shit out of him.
They broke him, so to speak.
And then he gets away with Dragline, with George Kennedy. And
they steal a truck.
He's like, all right, well, enjoy life. And he's like, well, I only escaped because I saw you going and you're such a cool guy. You know, seems like you knew what you were doing.
Do you think he kind of turned him in, I guess, right? He led them to the church.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was expecting, I kind of knew that it couldn't have ended with him like getting away and living on an island and whatever, right? Because if that were the case, anytime anybody brought up Shawshank Redemption, they would mention, oh, it's reminiscent of Cool Hand Luke when he gets away at the end and lives in Zihuatanejo or whatever. So I had a feeling this behavior could not last much longer. I also kind of got the feeling from Paul Newman that he didn't have much regard. He was just kind of like playing it fast and loose, like not much regard for life, or, you know, like he liked
once his mother died.
Yeah, and he took a bad hit when his mom died. And I think he was just kind of, he was like, hey, whatever happens, happens. So no, unexpected ending, but kind of, you know, I kind of saw it coming. So kind of expected. It was an expected ending.
Yeah, I was surprised by it. I kind of you're rooting for him. It wasn't like he was in prison because he murdered someone. It was just kind of like misdemeanors.
Yeah, but, oh, it was nonsense because you don't really know what anyone else in the prison was in for, except you know that he was, like, Paul Newman was sent to this prison camp because he was cutting the heads off of parking meters.
But they did go down the line, like, the three other people,
just Harry Dean Stanton and two other guys, yeah. But it's a cast of like 30 to 40 other guys.
But they were in for some one guy. But if you murder,
but you know that you can be put in there
for
anything from murder to cutting the heads off of parking meters.
Yeah,
you know,
it was like not a leveled prison system.
So. You know,
I liked the movie. I thought it was a bit too long.
I don't think so. We had to take a couple of passes at it because we put it on kind of late.
Yeah.
But I think there weren't any scenes where it's like, oh, this again, you know. I think it was like the right amount of time. Plus, like, you're going to have a classic that everybody knows and loves, Cool Hand Luke. While you're watching it for the first time after everyone else you know has seen it, I'm like, hey, I could say if this was 3 hours, I'd sit through it, you know? You don't want it to end. It's a great movie, you know?
Yeah. It was
not like that
sweaty movie.
Not like that pile of horse shit, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, you can't even compare. Like, movies back in the 60s, like I really want to watch... The Great Escape, is that it?
I want to watch The Great Escape. That's on the list, folks. It's coming up soon.
Because that's like a movie like this.
Yeah. Well, and that's like fucking star-studded ensemble cast almost. Yeah. You know?
I can't believe you've never seen that.
Wasn't Leonardo DiCaprio in that?
No.
And he wasn't even born. Once upon a time in Hollywood. No, but Quentin Tarantino like superimposed him. He like deep-faked Leonardo DiCaprio into The Great Escape.
Oh, right.
Remember, he was... who was in that? Was that Steve McQueen?
Yeah.
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 And oh, no. Wait.
No, Steve McQueen is North by Northwest, right?
No, that's Cary Grant.
Oh, hold on.
Who's in The Great Escape? I'm pretty sure it's Steve McQueen. Oh. Anywho's...
Oh, I guess the internet went out. So we'll get back to you on that one.
Okay. I'm with you, though, on the movies from the 60s. It's taken me a while. Like, I 10 years ago, there's no way. Oh, maybe a little more than 10.
Oh, I got
like
it.
20 years ago, when I was like a teenager, there's no way I would be interested in watching movies from the 60s.
Really?
Like, I mean, I'd watch like a Hitchcock movie, but only like the real like trendy kind of like Psycho and Vertigo and North by Northwest. I would never. And then little by little, I'm like, oh, you know what? I kind of like Airport 75, 77 set. You're like all those, like you just go, oh, these are the people. Cause you always hear the names like, oh, Dean Martin. Right. Like, what the fuck do I know about Dean Martin? Right. Like, I don't know. I know that he was like the Rat Pack, but other than that, and then you watch a movie with Dean Martin, you go, oh, like Burt Lancaster.
Well, it's kind of cool. You go, well, that's why that was in Steve McQueen is in The Great Escape. But it's kind of cool that we can go back and watch movies. And it wasn't really that long ago when movies started. I mean.
Well, that's when like that's.
Like, that's pretty cool when you think of the whole history of the world. Like, we live in a time when movies.
Where we have movies. Yeah.
Where movies started. Yeah.
And There's
and people still alive who started in these movies.
What's interesting and kind of hacky now is that all these things are coming out about like the history of Hollywood, but this is the time that they're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You have the show Hollywood, which, oh God, very good.
It's just one angle of it though.
Right. But it's all like the golden age of Hollywood.
Right.
Right. So like the 30s to 40, well, the 40s to the 60s, like a big time studios, big time actors, like cool. Household names, Paul Newman and, and Dean Martin and Burt Lancaster and all these like, and
it's cool that those places, like we live where those places are. Like
That's a whole different thing.
Those homes, those bungalows, like all around Warner Brothers, and that's where it started.
I had to like it, yeah. That's for us though. Like that's us. We can.
But anybody can see.
Yeah, but we can go out just driving down any street in ours or any like surrounding town and. There's a 1 in 20 chance that they'll just be filming something on a street that you happen to be driving down. That's just for us, you know?
But I like going back in time, like you're saying.
Yeah, but I mean, like, for anyone else in the country or even the world, like, where they don't just, like, constantly have location shooting, right? You could still, it's good to think about, like, you go back and you go, wow, this was like you, Sue. I mean, you're like the oldest person I know. Not the oldest person I know, but like you're older than most of the people that I, well, I mean, you're one of them. Okay. You're of a different kind of generation, right? You weren't even alive when Cool Hand Luke was made.
Oh no.
Right? Like that's where we can like level out together, right? Like we both look at that and go, wow. Everyone in this movie and everyone associated with this movie is fucking old or dead, right?
Right.
Like, you were not even on the planet when this whole production and story was written and the production was done.
And they got nominated. Oh my God.
Right.
Yeah.
And it still holds up. That's what's crazy. Yeah. And that's what makes it awesome. I didn't mean, like, you're the oldest person I know. You know what I mean, though? Like, you're like, you grew up a different, different decade than I did.
Right. So what movie is out now that's like these movies?
That's what I mean. Like all people, what's out? That's 52 years ago. Am I right?
Yeah.
Well, 42 years ago, whatever. Right. That we're looking back and we're going, wow, look at that. Like, it's great. The cast is great. The whole story keeps you interested. It should never be remade. And 50 years from now, they're going to be like, wow, look at all these fucking comic book movies.
Right.
You know, like what the fuck else is coming out?
Yeah. Like what's a good movie like The Great Escape or like Cool Hand Luke? Like I didn't even.
They're just it. Well, you don't do it anymore. I mean, like, I think I would give it to maybe like an Inglourious Basterds, right? Mm. Like you could, that I feel like in 50 years that'll hold up.
Right.
Because
or No Country for Old Men. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a Coen Brother movie.
A Coen Brothers movie. I think Lebowski, hopefully. I mean, I can't see any reason why it wouldn't hold up.
It's just a people movie.
Yeah, it's not. So there are movies that are like set in a time where down the road, it's either going to hold up or not hold up.
Right.
Because a lot of the movie relies on it being set in that time. Like fucking Blade Runner. Right? You can't watch Blade Runner. Back to the Future 2 Yeah, it was great.
Like, once you claim a year.
Right, in 1997, Back to the Future 2 was great because it was still a really long time until 2015. We're 5 years after 2015 now. And you go, we're not even fucking close to that.
Right.
First off, they stopped making Jaws sequels.
Right.
There's no hoverboards. Nobody's even close to the hoverboard, right? The closest thing we have to a hoverboard is a skateboard where the wheels are facing this way instead of that way. You know? And you got to keep your balance. It's just, if they all the technology has done, it's just made it easier to crack your fucking skull open riding around on wheels. We don't have flying cars.
Yeah, they...
We don't have time travel.
They really were skimping on the years. They should have went, like, way into the future.
Like self-adjusting shoes and everything, you know? We don't have any, like, anything. Anything from Back to the Future,
too. No, but we do have other things.
The closest thing we have... Cell phones. The closest thing we have would be, like Wikipedia. You can get all the sports scores from the last, like, 30 years. That's it. We don't have any of the cool shit. Oh, too bad the post office isn't as efficient as the weather service. Nothing. We right. got nothing.
Right.
They really overshot Back to the Future too. So there are movies that rely heavily on the time that they're set in. I feel like The Big Lebowski happens to be set. Like, it's even set like a few years before the movie came out. Like,
that's smart. Like, yeah.
Like, it came out in like 94. So it's set like in 1991, I think.
Right.
And it really has nothing to do with the movies. So I think it would hold up later on.
Right. The only thing, it's kind of fun to look back and see the cars or see, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
Like looking back at Clint Eastwood movies, you know, Dirty Harry.
That's different because that's the same kind of thing. It doesn't really rely heavily on the fact that it was like the 70s or early 80s, right?
Right. But you could look back at the cars and be like, oh, all right.
Well,
that
makes the cars.
Sense. I mean, or the guns they have.
What are they going to do?
Right.
You know, that's the stuff that was there.
But that's okay. It's a period. It happened during that period of time.
Yeah.
So it works. But like going to the future, you got to be really careful.
Going to the future. It's better to go back.
Shame.
It's. You really are treading on thin ice when you make predictions about the future, right. You know?
Because then it just becomes hokey.
You know?
You lose your credibility.
You know what I do like, though? When they have, like, it's an unnamed year in the future, and it's just, like, after nuclear war, and, like a Mad Max kind of... Mad Max or like in the Umbrella Academy, like it's right. post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you like, oh, the year 2012. It's just like in the future.
In the future.
You know, the year 3000. Yeah. There's nothing left. Okay,
yeah. Just don't put a number on it.
Yeah. Don't put a number on it. Cause then somebody's going to hold you to it. Look at us right now.
Well, we're not holding
Zemeckis,
it. Just,
all right.
It just loses its credibility a little bit.
Well, yeah, it takes you out of like, it takes you out of it because you're like, oh, wow, look, like imagine watching Back to the Future 2 and somebody who's never seen it walks into the room and goes, wow, what are you watching? Oh, it's Back to the Future 2. Wow, they got flying cars and flying skateboards and all kinds of like, you know, size adjusting thing and a weather service. Oh, what year does that take place? It was 5 years ago.
Yeah, 2015.
All right. Yeah. Well, fuck you then.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. Boy, they were far off.
Yeah. That's like one of those things where, like, you know how they go in and, like, alter movies? You know, it'd be like the director's cut or what? Like,
right.
When, like, E.T., they replaced the guns with walkie-talkies. Can't they just go into Back to the Future? I feel like I'd give them a pass. I love all the Back to the Futures. I feel like I'd give them a pass if they wanted to go in and just change the end date to, like, you know, 2315.
Right.
You know?
Just add a...
2315. I guess it would kind of change the thing with, like, his kid only being 17, but...
Yeah.
It would bring back my hope for the future. You
know? Great current child.
Because when you're a kid watching Back to the Future 2, you go, man, I can't wait till 2015. Like... I think they got it together. Like, I think they're going to hit it on the nose. We're going to have flying cars. If not, at least hoverboards. And 2015 came and went.
Yeah, we...
Without a hint. Without a whiff.
But I think that we weren't focused on that in our technology. Like, think about for a second the power of our cell phones that we have in our pocket and the power that that can do. And back in the 70s, in the 80s, when we had supercomputers, they would take up size of buildings. Floors and buildings were computers. And now we're carrying a little device.
But that's part of, like, did Back to the Future miss the mark? You know, but there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that in Cool Hand Luke. Right. There's nothing like, there's no technology. There's right. no right. like.
No technology.
You know?
And that's like
there's
big
a truck.
Big
there's a truck and a rifle.
Right.
And a shovel. Like there's nothing to be.
Different movies, different genres.
Yeah, he's not rewiring a radio. You know, it's just, they're in a very simple, like cabin in the woods, basically. And the whole story is right there.
It's
Can
a
he
story.
Eat eggs?
It's a story. It's character development.
It's amazing.
It's a story.
It's
good.
Amazing.
It's good.
I think in another 50 years, even though AFI is going to have all these like fucking woke ass movies on their top 100, Cool Hand Luke will just be edged out by those. But I think it'll still hold up in another 50 years.
I think it'd be cool to hear my dad's take on Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah.
Do you know what one of his favorite movies is? The Great Escape. And I watched it with him. Maybe we should have him call in when we do.
I've never seen it.
Okay. How have you never seen that?
Yeah.
Hey, why don't we do a show about that?
Yes, Sue. It was implied. My God. All right. So Cool Hand Luke. I liked it.
Great.
If you haven't seen it, watch it. It is. Oh boy. This will come out like very soon. It's right now it's December 21st. It is gone in 10 days from HBO Max. I'm sure, you know,
Cool Hand Luke is.
Yeah. I'm sure you're not as cheap as I am. So rent it for like the $2 or $3 on all the other platforms. But if you want it for free and you have HBO Max, it is gone after New Year's. So all watch it for free.
Alrighty.
Just watch it while you got it. It's a really good movie. A+. I give Cool Hand Luke. We don't rate it that way, right?
Ditto. Thumbs up. What? We have no rating system. You can.
I loved it.